The first two people we're going to talk to this morning are people who have been on the ship all night, I understand. Sue Caslake is a... I think, are you a Portland local, Sue? Is
yes.
Yes, excellent. And also with us is Peter Sharp, who... Well, Peter, you're something of an enthusiast, I gather. You're a bit of an Endeavour tragic.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I'm not local, Jeremy. I'm a ring-in.
Where's home for you normally?
Queenscliff.
Okay, well, you're not too far away then.
No.
Yeah. Now, Sue, we might begin with you then. Well, in fact, I might ask you firstly just how the night's been, because you have been working, in inverted commas, all night. What is work involved? What have you both been doing?
Well, I was lucky to get the early shift, so it's a two-hour watch, so we go around and just check freezer and fridge temperatures, the bilge, whether that needs pumping, make sure there's nothing unusual happening, no fires, no... Make sure all the floodlights are on and
everything's ship-shape. I mean, many people may not be familiar with some shipping terms, myself included. When you say bilge, what does that mean?
That's where the ship might be leaking at the side and the water sits in the bottom of the boat.
Okay.
And you've got to make sure that that doesn't get to a certain level. If it does, you've got to turn the bilge pump on.
Okay. Otherwise...
We might not have been sitting quite so comfortably this morning.
We could be a little bit lower down than we are. Now, Sue, what made you want to get involved in this this whole endeavour, I guess?
Oh, I did it 12 years ago with my son, and he did a shipkeeper's watch with me one night, and then I was coming back again, and it's just a good interest and a little adventure without going out to sea.
Right. would you like to have a sail, though? Would you like to go on one of the legs of the journey?
Maybe a couple of days, but I don't know whether I can handle 10.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, Peter, you've done legs of trips on the ship, haven't you, from port to port
yes,
and so on?
Yeah. No, it's more fun out at sea, I would have thought. Still have to check the bilges, though, when you do a safety round. But, it's much more fun. That's what this ship is designed to do, is to sail. And she's a marvellous sea boat, and, Yeah.
Well, tell us a bit about why you first got involved in it then and when.
I first sailed on this ship in 2006. She was down for the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne. And,
all right.
They were just after a volunteer crew and a bit of a sort of a dream, really. I never thought I'd even see a ship like this, let alone sail on one. And unfortunately, it's addictive and, you know, I've done a number of voyages since much every year since then.
Had you done any sailing before though?
I'm a bit of a sort of boaty
type. Right.
Yeah.
Well, you've certainly got the
beard
for it, which is
good. Square rig, you know. Square rig's different, you know. It's the Formula One of sailing.
Well, we should explain that as well. So when we talk about square rig, are you referring to the shape of the sail?
Yeah, this old time sort of rig, and as you can see, there are yards on the masts, and they're sort of going, I guess, square. You know, they're across the yard, across the mast, and the sails which come down from there, they're all kind of tied up there at the moment, but when they come down, they're a big square sail.
And, right. Yeah.
Of course, you can brace the you can pull the yards around and get your best angler wind, but essentially she's a running machine. She runs before the wind, and that's the most efficient way of catching the wind.
Right.
In that way.
Well, what does that mean exactly when you say running before the wind?
The breeze would be coming over the stern quarter there, just behind you.
Right.
So it, essentially, she's going with the wind behind her.
Right. Okay. Which that would seem to be what all boats do, surely, don't they? You can tell I know nothing about sailing, which is why I'm glad you're both here. Now, well, so when you first came on board, Peter, what were the surprises for you, I guess, of this ship, or the things which you perhaps might not have expected to find here?
Well, I'm a small boat man, so this is a ship. It's run like a ship, so that was very different. And that year when we went out of Port Phillip, we went into a gale, and I suppose about 40 of the crew were seasick, rolling in the scuppers here, and there were loud crashes and bangs as things went everywhere, and the sea did its best to sort of come aboard. So, yeah, that was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah. What about the actual fit-out of the ship as well and those sorts of things?
It's an incredibly complicated rig. There's 150 lines to... control all these sails. So I found that quite bewildering and overwhelming, really.
I suppose one of the first surprises for people when they do come on board is what's below deck, Sue, because you come on board and the deck immediately below us is, well, it's very...
Very short.
Yes, very short, yes. You've got to bend over.
If you're
a
short person, you've got the advantage.
That's right. I mean, were you expecting that? Was that a surprise?
I knew it was there from the previous visit, but yeah, it's a bit of a shock when you sort of, whoa, you can't just walk anywhere.
No,
you sort of walk on bended knee. The authenticity of it all, the replica side of it, and the bits and pieces that have been put together to make it as it is.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, I mean, your jobs, your overnight job, tell us a bit more about that then. I mean, you mentioned that you sort of work in two-hour shifts, I think, is it? Is that how practically what happens?
Yep.
The rest of the time we're in our hammocks, you know, as you would be at sea when you're not on watch and it's night, and then we're up and about and just making sure nobody makes off with the ship or mooring lines don't sort of wear through or something, and so it's just basically important piece of equipment that needs to be monitored, I suppose.
And did you get much sleep?
Yeah, we got some sleep.
We did
hear some snoring.
Right, you are going there.
Well, I was sleeping when I was sleeping, and I didn't hear that snoring at all.
Right. Now, how many people are on the overnight shift then? How many of you are actually involved?
Six.
And so you just take like a two-hour turn each, is that how it works?
Yeah.
You've got a couple of young girls from over Warrnambool Way, and they did their two shifts together.
Okay.
Kept each other company.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So are you here for the whole week then, Sue? You'll be coming each night?
I'm coming back again on Monday night, but then I'm coming in to do guiding Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, okay. So you're doing both roles then. What sort of training do you get as well then? When you've contacted the museum to take on one of these roles, what do they do for you?
Well, we've got to fill out a paperwork, kind of a police check, and all that goes with it. Then we do a 3-hour training session on Sunday, and we also had a familiarisation tour last night.
Right.
With Craig, the real shipkeeper.
Right, okay.
So he just gives us a supposedly hour guide, but it ends up about 2.5 hours.
Five, wasn't it?
It's probably a lot to learn, I would imagine.
And we've also got a little guidebook that it tells us at which station we're at, what's of interest there.
Okay, so when it's open as a museum, then you'll just be stationed at one point,
yes,
do you? And you just talk about that particular part. So what's going to be your station?
I'll find out every morning,
and you're rostered
at different positions each day. Like you might do six positions in one day.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Are there any little interesting tidbits that you've learned so far that people might not be aware of?
Well, there was the trunnel that I forgot about that's in the stern of the boat, which is is a short name for a tree nail, which is like a piece of dowel split in half long ways. That's how this whole ship's put together, but this particular one was flown on the Endeavour that went to outer space and back again.
Oh, really?
And the chap that took it up there brought it back, and they've got a photo of him hammering it back into position.
Oh, very nice.
So that was interesting.
Yes, right. Yeah, because I think the space shuttle was named after the original.
Yes.
It's 26 past 6 here on Breakfast, ABC Southwest Victoria. Jeremy Lee with you this morning. We're on board the Endeavour in Portland this morning. Sue Caslake is with us, who is a Portland local. You are from Portland, aren't you?
Definitely.
Yes, good, yeah. And as a volunteer shipkeeper and guide for the Endeavour stay. Peter Sharp's also with us, who is also a volunteer shipkeeper, but also a bit of an Endeavour tragic, as he's confessed to us already. In fact, I believe you've actually flown around the country, Peter, have you, to meet up with the ship at various points?
Yeah. Fortunately, I'm not the only one that's done this, but yeah, when she's in an obscure port like TI or something, you have to get there and then get the ship out of there, I guess. And same as where you end up. The last port I ended up in was Port Lincoln about a month ago.
So you obviously you're able to just spend your time doing this, or do you have to make room, or what?
Yeah, just at the moment I can do that. I'm very privileged in that I can take a bit of time off and follow my true passion, which is sailing in this ship, you know.
Yeah. So how do you decide whether you're going to I don't know, sail or work as a guide or the ship people? Did you just pick and choose and and just decide, well, you know, I'd like to have a go doing this role now for a little while? Or?
Excuse me. Yeah, no, look, you apply. Ship keeping is just sort of to help out. Sorry, I'm getting the choked up thing.
You're all right.
And may cough. But I think it might be my muesli. But but the actual voyage is you apply and get out your checkbook, and so you're paying to stand watch and get up in the middle of the night and go aloft. And
yeah, right. Yeah. Which I guess the ship wouldn't run without people doing that sort of thing.
Yeah, there are 40 people who are essential. This ship is very labour intensive, so there are 16 professionals, people who really know what they're doing, and 40 volunteers, and a lot of people have never done any sailing. They're interested in the ship for other reasons or as a challenge, or they take one look at the ship and just feel that they must sail.
Must sail. Is there a bit of a fraternity as well? Do you must sort of meet people regularly, do you, who keep coming back to be a part of the ship?
There's certainly the professionals. There's a tall ship sort of community who look after each other. They're family, really. Mm. And there are a group of people like myself, kind of stalkers, who are on the fringe of that sort of world. And, it's a good world. It's, it's one of those unique sort of things. I guess it would be like any other sport or hobby or, you know, interest that people have. Everybody loves what they're doing, and it gives you a tremendous bond.
Just briefly, I mean, you both obviously very much, you know, love what you're doing there, and to have this opportunity, I mean, what would you say to people who might be thinking about having a go at being a crew member or doing what you're doing now?
No, don't do it. It's addictive.
Right. Okay, that's a definite no from Peter. What about you, Sue?
Oh, give it a go. Start off with guiding or shipkeeping and see how you go from there.
Excellent. Good. Well, thank you both very much for joining us this morning, and especially after your overnight watch. Are you both heading home to a proper bed now, or?
Work.
Work. But really, you're still working, so. Wow, do you okay? Well, people might see you then on the ship at some point as a guide as well. And Peter, they might see you around as well. Who knows?
Yeah.